Ready?
I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, June 10th, 2019. And as has been our tradition here for many, many years, I'd like to ask everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the regular session minutes of May 28th.
Motion to approve.
I have one change, sure. Mr. Mayor. On page... was it 3 of 5, paragraph 2, I believe? 3 of 5, yes. Paragraph 2, oh, hold on, let me use the microphone. I received an email from one of my constituents that said that she would like, Miss Allen, would like the record to reflect that it was stated that if the price of switching the Buez property over to Town Electric hit $36,000, that we would not go through with that. So I told her that I would make that request this evening.
Was that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he said regular session. Okay. I stand corrected. I apologize.
If I said regular, I'm just
I apologize.
No, it's okay. So, first of all, any motion on the executive session?
Motion to approve.
Okay, all right. We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes of Monday, June 3rd. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, all opposed. Let the record show it's a unanimous vote, 5-0. All right. The reason for the executive session meeting was for before a contract is awarded or bids are opened to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal. If public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. That's under the Maryland Open Meetings Law. All right, so now we're up to the regular session minutes for Tuesday, May 28th.
And I have my proposed change. Would you like me to repeat it?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say it in here.
It does? Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
And Mayor, one change on page 3 of 5. That second paragraph at the end, first line, he asked if there are any state or county officials. Just change council to county.
Oh, county. Yeah, thank you. We'll be doing that again tonight. Okay.
Other than that, if no one else has anything, motion to approve with that change.
All right. We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of Tuesday, May 28th, by Councilmember Goyas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Again, the vote was unanimous. Item 2A is a motion to award the Graham Avenue Submerged Gravel Wetlands contract. And
that came off the draft agenda. That
item did?
Yep.
Okay.
So right. Do you have the...
No, probably don't.
That's the final agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
No approved.
Okay. So now, again, we'll move to new 2A. Motion approving Ocean City Baptist Church to hold a basketball camp for children in Dr. William Henry Park on Monday, July 15th, to Friday, July 19th, from 8 a.m. to noon, daily, and to waiver the park fees. And representing Ocean City Baptist Church are Dustin Wheelock and Sean Davis. Come right on up and tell us a little bit about your basketball game.
I'm Dustin. This is Sean. We thank you guys for allowing us to come before you today and present this to you. We're with Ocean City Baptist Church, and it has been our goal for a long time to have a positive impact on the community. So we've had Upward Soccer for, I think we're going into our 13th year. It's built up now to about 500 kids from 3 years old to eighth grade. We run several camps during the year, and we'd like to run a basketball camp. We've wanted to do that for a while. We just don't have the facility to do it, and we think Henry Park would be a great facility to run it. Kids love basketball in Berlin. The idea is just $50 a kid, and we're also going to have scholarships available for kids that can't afford it. So it's not an idea to make a lot of money. It's to provide a service for the town. And so we're looking to do it Monday the 15th, and we're actually looking to end it on Thursday. So it would be Monday through Thursday would be the camp. We're partnering with a group that's coming in, a basketball coach out of Pittsburgh, who is a varsity boys coach in a public school, who has a good resume and would be a good one to partner with. And so we're asking for Henry Park from 8 to noon.
I know this is your first one, first basketball camp in Berlin. Do you have a rough idea of how many kids you hope that will be signing up?
We're trying to get like 100.
Wow, that's great.
Our other camps are usually right around that mark. So, and we have, you know, with the pool that we have from Upward Soccer, there is a large amount of kids that we can reach. And so
I think the Henry Park venue would be ideal because with the obviously new courts, but also the seating, the bleachers, and for all the courts.
Yeah, and the location is great where it is.
Good.
So
now, we just had a basketball camp started this weekend on Saturday. Worcester County Rec. They started their camp this past Saturday. I don't know if that'll... I think theirs on...
It's on Saturday. Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, so it won't conflict at all.
Okay.
Good. Thanks for the remember. Does anyone have any questions for either Dustin or Sean?
What is it going to cost the individual?
$50. But we'll have scholarships available too for kids that can't afford it.
You're asking for a waiver of park fees in the amount of $500. Will that impact on the tuition cost?
For
that is set at $50.
Well, it's set at $50 unless the kid can't afford it. Does that answer your...
No. My question is, you've asked to waive the park fees.
Right.
Those fees are $500. If those fees are waived, will that impact on the tuition cost?
Probably not, because we're trying to provide a basketball for each kid, and we have to get... What else?
We check the basketball rims. We don't lower. So for the younger kids, 5 through 7, we're going to purchase 2 portable ones to come in. They'll be able to lower them, and each kid will have a basketball. Each kid will get something to take home. So the supply, not a basketball, they'll get a shirt as well as. So those are the things that we provide. So we're just trying to cover costs.
Mayor, if I can, this was initially presented to me as an activity that was free to the children. There is no business use of park form that has been filled out.
How many total courts will you be using during the time that you're there? I'm looking at this.
Two,
okay.
Yes, sir.
So basically what you're saying, Mary, is that they have to come back and fill out another reservation form?
Technically, if they are charging a fee, then yes, it becomes a business use of park. just says Worcester County Recreation because they have a fee. They had to complete that form.
Well, it seems that we have a situation here where we need some guidance from the council with the understanding of the church, Ocean City Baptist Church, that we could conditionally approve the use of the park based on the business use form being presented to Marion.
It wouldn't change the information that has been right. presented to you tonight.
Yeah, just a different form. Just a different form.
So I'll move to approve conditionally based on the form being complete.
Can we make sure that the advertisements include the ability for people to understand that there is a way to get it at a reduced cost when you're advertising this program?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the request for the basketball camp from Monday, July 15th. To Thursday, July 18th, from 8 a.m. to noon at the Henry Park Basketball Courts for Ocean City Baptist Church. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Well, thank you very much. And if you and Mary will hook up and get that paperwork squared away, we'll be fine. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Thanks.
The next is 2C, motion 2019-16, a motion approving the Grace Center for Maternal and Women's Health to hold a walking event based at Stephen Decatur Park on Saturday, July 20th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And also there's a request to waiver the park fees. Okay,
I'm Amy Mike. I'm the board chair for the Grace Center for Maternal and Women's Health, and we are looking to partner with the town. This is a walk for motherhood in conjunction with the Worcester Goes Purple. This will be our way of partnering with Worcester Goes Purple as well, partnering with the town and the county to get our name out there too, and the services that we can provide to the people. We're going to it's a family-oriented event. We'll have people decorate their strollers if they choose to, and really emphasize the family. We'll have some morning snacks there. We'll have some T-shirts available if people want to purchase T-shirts. But it's more to get into the community and participate in some of the activities here and use your beautiful facilities here and get our name out there.
Right. Does anyone have any questions for Amy?
Mayor, I have one comment as well.
Sure.
The certificate of insurance, I would just ask that we get an updated version of that as well, because this appears that it will expire very soon.
So can you manage to get that for
us? I'll make sure that we get that, because I know we keep that up to date, so.
Okay.
So if you're inclined to approve it, we would ask that you would condition that approval on the receipt of that insurance certificate.
Okay.
All right.
I'll make a motion to approve it under those conditions.
Right. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the walking event at Stephen Decatur Park for Saturday, July 20th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., sponsored by the Grace Center for Maternal and Women's Health. All in favor say
question,
aye.
Question. Does your motion include waiving the fee?
Yes.
And that is conditional on the insurance being updated.
Yeah, waiving the fees and the insurance.
Okay. So we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you very
much. Hope you have good weather and a good turnout.
I hope so too.
I wasn't that explicit with my motion, approving the basketball camp, but that motion also included waiving the fees.
Yeah.
So yes. I just wanted that stated for the record.
Does everybody understand that?
Yep.
Good.
Nope.
Okay. We're all on the same page. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Now we're up to item three on our tonight's agenda, and
we're moving right along.
Yep, the next will be a just a few minutes. We'll commence a public hearing on our fiscal 2020 budget. Tonight's public hearing prior to the council's action on the FY20 town budget marks the 16th week of the process to establish a budget for the town for the new fiscal year. The proposed budget has been reduced since our last meeting 2 weeks ago. This FY20 budget totals $15.2 million, which is $2.95 million less than the current budget of $18.1 million. This represents a 16.25% decrease in revenue and expenses compared to the current year. The new budget is also based on an 80-cent property tax rate, which represents an 18% increase over the current rate. Even with the increased property tax rate, most Berlin taxpayers will be paying about the same amount in property taxes that they paid 10 years ago. The town's share of costs for all events approved for 2019 are also funded for the next year in this budget, including continuing the two New Year's Eve ball drops on Main Street, one for youngsters early in the evening and another midnight for adults. There is a small contingency budgeted for all funds except for stormwater. Those contingency dollars are used to address unanticipated expenses, such as emergencies, that may come up during the year. The amount of these contingencies range from $46,500 to $81,000, representing less than 1% of the general fund and about 9% of the water fund. The capital budget expenditures have been significantly reduced from the current level for the new fiscal year. In the general fund, revenues and expenditures for capital projects have been budgeted for $406,600, most of which is a $326,600 line item for town street and sidewalk projects that are in the most severe need of improvements. Capital expenses for the electric department are budgeted at $234,000 for the power plant and power distribution upgrades. The water fund is budgeted for $54,000 of capital expenses. The wastewater fund capital expenses are budgeted at $100,000, and the stormwater fund has a capital expense budget of $325,000. The total amount budgeted for capital expenses for the new fiscal year is $1.1 million, which represents a 70% cut from the current year of $3.8 million for capital projects. Tonight's proposed budget does not rely on any borrowing from town general fund reserves unless there is a severe emergency that cannot be foreseen. One final note about the new FY20 town budget is that by adopting a new property tax rate and increasing water and sewer rates, the town's general fund reserve balance will not be further diminished, but will gradually increase over time. Now I would like to ask Natalie Salee, our town financial director, to share some charts and graphs with you that we trust will help in getting everyone more familiar with the budget that is being proposed for adoption.
Basically, budget in the charts and graphs is a short summary to overview major revenues and expenses by percent. So general fund budget is $6.2 million, consists of major part of a real estate tax revenues is 56%. We have other taxes at 12%, slot revenues at 6%. I'm just going to highlight the biggest items, not line by line. Other grants is 5%. One-time Worcester County grant, 7%. We have licenses and fees and permits at 3%. General fund expenses, basically structured by the department, and major part is 38%, police and fire services. We have elected officials, administration at 17%. We have capital outlay and capital improvement, which is impact fees, a small portion. Public works consists of three departments at 15%, park recreations, debt service, planning department. electric fund revenues. Total electric budget for 2020 is $5.3 million. Major part is residential services at 58%. We have commercial service, 8%. General service, 23%. Street lights, large general service, 8%. Service material and interest on delinquent is a small portion. Water revenue, water fund budget for 2020 is $915,000. 69% consists of water services. We have a little bit of water tower rent revenues at 7%. Interest on delinquent pretty much doesn't change through the funds. Special connection fees, 18%. Service material and ready to serve. Sewer fund revenues, budget for sewer fund for 2020 is $2.4 million, 71% consist of sewer services, ready to serve 4%. We have HOLO fees, or the usage of the wastewater facility by the contractors, interest income at 1%, and special connection fees at 19%. Stormwater revenues, stormwater fund for fiscal year 2020 is $454,000, and we have residential sewer fees and commercial. Residential 16%, commercial is 21%. We have 17% consist of DNR grant expected to be received for capital improvements. The 46% is the contribution. We have been setting aside $30,000 for VAC track. We're skipping this year, so the amount is not increasing from prior year. Next is a little bit of graphic presentation of how our budgets look through past years in comparison to the 2020 to be budgeted. Just the numbers saying by itself. 2017, we have the largest budget, 8.4, but we have big capital construction projects in that year, and then it's decreasing since then. That is a general fund. Electric fund pretty much staying in within the same lines in 5.6, 5.7. 2020, it's the lowest at $5.3 million budgeted. Water fund, largest year for the budget was in 2018, $915 budgeted for 2020. Sewer fund, 2018 was the largest budget of $3 million, and for 2020 we have $2.4 million budgeted. Skip stormwater fund. Stormwater fund started in very low. That was the initiation of the stormwater fund in general, and then we have large grants received in 2016 and 2017. You see the largest amounts, and the smallest budget we're going forward to see is 2020, $454,000.
And I'll just make a note that on the stormwater fund, it doesn't mean that the work is done. We've spent, between grant money and the money raised through the stormwater utility, we spent since the formation of the utility on flooding prevention projects and upgrades about $3 million. Complete everything that the Army Corps of Engineers and our stormwater consultants and engineering folks say, over time we'll need to spend another $7 million. That's what it's going to take to basically make us, to insulate us from the ongoing and increasing threats from flooding, which are an inevitable consequence of climate change, and obviously being a coastal community that's so close to all kinds of water right on the within or on our immediate borders. So I just want to point that out, that every now and then we'll have lower amounts, but we'll have to continue those upgrades that started basically in 2015.
That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty. I'd like to open the hearing on public hearing on the 2020 fiscal year budget. The Does anyone here from the state or county wish to address the mayor and council? Does anyone in attendance tonight wish to address the mayor and council? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is James Meckley, and I reside at 105 Buckingham Road. I have been a resident of the town of Berlin for 4 years, but have been a frequent visitor to this wonderful town for the past 30 years, and found it to be a place that I wanted to be during my final years. I have also served as a town councilman for 4 years in a small town similar to Berlin in upstate New York. First of all, I would like to thank all of you for your service to the town and for your continued effort to keep our town what it is. We all realize that the majority of phone calls and visits that you get throughout the tenure are not always pleasant or complimentary. Unfortunately, that just goes with the job. The sudden increase in taxes and utility costs have certainly gained attention for most residents and has caused much anxiety, displeasure, lack of trust, and respect for all of you. I feel that those people do understand the predicament that you are currently in and possibly face in the upcoming year. I also know that the yelling, the arguing, the name-calling, and the disrespect will accomplish nothing. Therefore, I would like to make some proposals and add some considerations to you all to consider for the future to possibly avoid the sometimes ugly confrontations that solve nothing and possibly help future decision-making. Number one, I would like to commend the department heads for the overall excellent job they did by cutting back and eliminating costs within their departments. I also commend Natalie Soleil for the very impressive breakdown of the budget and showing via line items how each dollar is spent or obtained. However, I was shocked at the two work sessions that the council as a whole never went through the budget and discussed budget items line by line. The only suggestion of line items to be addressed were from Councilman Tindall, and he was berated for that. That sends a message that most of you did not spend time outside the work sessions going through the presented budget, and you did not question any expenditures. Does that mean that there are no other items that could have been reduced or eliminated to keep the tax rate lower? How the budget is analyzed and revised needs to be addressed. Number two, I know that there are many very professional and educated residents in this town that could provide a multitude of services, information, and suggestions to the council. Unfortunately, it seems that the town spends a very large amount of money on consulting fees when services are offered by local businesses, often at a lower cost. The answer from the town is, we're happy with what we have. Again, you want suggestions and input, but too often it hits a wall or is ignored. Please use and explore resources that may be available from your local merchants and your professionals. Number three, Mr. Burrell and other council members, you have said multiple times how nice it is to have so many people at the meetings. One thing that I think you misunderstand is that we are not here at the meetings to please you. We are here because we are losing faith in how the town is being operated, and we are here as guardians, caretakers, and providers to see that the council is doing their job in the best interest of all of us residents. Number four, Mr. Williams, I do regret that you and the council have not raised taxes in the last 12 years. No one likes tax raises. But the cost of living continuously rises and materials and labor get more expensive. So I am asking you and the council to keep a better eye on the current situations, but more than anything, start curtailing your spending policies. We can go back and say you shouldn't have bought this and that, but it's over. It's done. Now, look ahead. Use what we have. Stop the excessive buying. Live within our means and be frugal and use common sense. Number five, Mr. Mayor, I respect you in that you are very knowledgeable and well-versed on the ins and outs of small-town government, laws, regulations, and policies. However, when someone differs with your opinion, they are often recipients of verbal, written, or public abusive lectures or rants. I found this distasteful and not befitting of a public official. If you disagree with someone or something, that's fine. But listening and showing some empathy for another's opinion or suggestion without a negative or explosive reaction would get you farther, save you a lot of energy, and gain you a lot more respect from the community. I love Berlin. I appreciate what is not what it is and what it has become. I appreciate your willingness to serve the town and know that you suffer the same tax implications that we all do. I am not going to sell my house. I'm not going to leave town. I'm going to pay the higher property taxes and the utility costs and continue to enjoy this great place to live. However, we are all watching closely now, and we are scrutinizing your decisions and objectives and are becoming more aware of how you are performing. Wise, researched, and thoughtful decisions, smart planning, open-mindedness, common sense will be a win-win for everyone. I hope you're all listening. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Meckley. We appreciate the time you put into your presentation and appreciate the advice. Does anyone else wish to address the Mayor and Council?
I don't know for this statement or anything. Marie V. Long, 400 West Street. I just want to agree with what he just said in every way. And it's something that you really should take seriously because it has been the worst part of coming to these meetings. When you come with a suggestion, and you haven't done it to me, but I have seen it with other people, and talk down to them, it discourages people from participating in their government. And that's what we need now. And that's what you're asking for. I have one question for Natalie on the stormwater. Mm-hmm. The $210,000, is that an expenditure or for the jetback, or is that something?
It's a planned expenditure. It's not enough to purchase a vac truck. It's a vacuum truck. So when we started the stormwater fund initially, Mayor and Council and the department had agreed to set $30,000 aside eventually to purchase that piece of equipment. So as of today, we have set aside $210,000. We are foregoing in 2020, so we're not adding $30,000 additional. So $210,000 as of fiscal 19. But it's not enough to purchase it in fiscal 2020.
Right. Does stormwater, sewer department pay anything towards that?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
We try to...
I mean, you don't use that to clean any of the lines? There's no reason that they shouldn't be contributing to that. I work for the sewer department. I know how many times our jetback came over here.
We might look into the water fund in the future, but not the sewer fund particularly, because the sewer fund is not in the position to share the cost at the time.
Okay, but that should be kept in mind.
Right.
To me, our budget doesn't seem to reflect expenses from different departments to the projects. I mean, you have roads, and your sewer should have capital improvements included in those roads because you know you're going to run into broken sewer lines. I mean, it's just a given in this whole town. So those things should be planned in each and every department, not just saying, oh, the roads cover that, because they don't. And then that's where the sewer department winds up having to borrow money because they have used labor and materials to fix something that you were fixing through the roads. the whole way the budget is being operated is a little weird to me. And I've seen better where you take from one place, just as you do with the administration. You have everybody paying towards administration costs. It should be the same way for the sewer, water, stormwater, all of it. If you're using equipment from one department for another department, it should be cataloged that way.
We can do that with the vac truck specifically. The decision was made several years ago because of the state of the sewer fund not to load that additional cost on it. Once the sewer fund gets righted, then it's in a better position to absorb those costs. But I believe the decision was made rather than load it onto a fund that's already suffering and really can't support its existing expenses to leave it in the stormwater fund, which is a legitimate decision-making process because that piece of equipment's used in that utility. So from a cost accounting standpoint, you do have some options with regard to how you spread those costs across the utilities. You're right in recognizing that the vac truck's used by the sewer utility. It's also used by the stormwater utility. But because the sewer fund's been in a deficit, the decision was made to leave it exclusively with the stormwater fund.
Right.
And you're correct, that in the past, if the project concerns all of the funds, as you mentioned, example, repairing the sewer lines, we do split the cost between water, sewer, and public works accordingly. If the sewer cost of actual material and labor will stay in sewer, and the water, labor, or contractor, we put it in water and overlay the street to close the hole or dig in, it would go to public works. So it is a general practice we utilize. In the past, we've done it.
It just doesn't reflect in the budget really well, you know, as to what you're using what money for.
Right.
And it probably should. Other than that, it's easy to say that this isn't going to affect real estate. I was at the last meeting when Dave said that. I saw in the Gazette the letter to the editor by the realtor president refuting that. And I think that on my street was mentioned one house that was being built, but that house had been in process. And you can't count that as something that's not affected by it. They are doing it now, probably, to avoid the building fees that are coming and the changes in that. So I think it's disingenuous to use that as an example of no effect. There's a lot of houses for sale. I've been driving around and noticing there's two now on my street. So you have to pay attention to keeping the cost down. We have a lot of money going into economic development. And I think that that should cease. It should be pulled back because that does not benefit the residents of this town. It benefits a select amount of people. I can't park in Berlin to go to the bank because of all of the wonderful business that they have. But I'm going to wind up having to pay money in taxes to have a parking garage put in to accommodate that. It's things like that. We have got to come to a realization that we are a small town and there's a certain amount we need to grow, and that is it. There's no reason why we have to expand and continue, and especially if you're going to keep hurting people that can't afford that type of progress. Roads, sidewalks, safety. Those are the things people are interested in a small town. And that's my two cents.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
And
very
I do
much.
Appreciate you all.
Thank you. Right. Yes, sir.
Maria Ballon.
I just have a couple comments. That's all, Jane. Everybody. First of all, I just want to, after going through a rigorous budget process that you all had to go through, going forward, I would like to be assured that all the department heads are following their budget lines and forecasting from month to month to see if they're on track or if they're going to go beyond track, then somebody has to be communicated right away instead of waiting to the end before you're trying to catch up. So managing each department head should manage their departments as if it was their own money. And if they foresee any problems, they need to communicate that immediately. And that's what I would like to be assured of going forward. If that's the case, if the internal controls are in place, and if that is the case, then we shouldn't foresee any more problems like we have. We should be able to catch those things before they get out of hand. And that's all I wanted to be assured of going forward.
Well, the department heads, for years, have limitations on what they can spend based on the approved budget. So if one line item goes up in their department, another one has to be reduced by an equal amount because the total amount has to be the same. And sometimes these are all, you know, the best estimates. And let's say if something goes up $15,000 more than what we anticipate the cost, another line item must come down. Yeah, and again, it's been in capital expenses where we've taken the big hits. And that is something where, you know, I guess it's a matter of judgment and opinion is should we have never use the reserves to do the things we've done these last several years? What are they for? At the same time, the sewer fund in particular ended up costing a lot more than we were anticipating. So it's kind of a thing where I totally agree, but that is the standard practice that, you know, that other than some, you know, major emergency, like a natural disaster or something, the department heads are held to that standard. And that's
not
where...
But they weren't in the last 5 years. Huh? They weren't in the previous 5 years because we got into this predicament. We're trying to play catch-up from the years past. And that's what I'm concerned with going forward. That's all.
Can I address that? The town actually had planned budgeted reserves each of the last several fiscal years. In other words, scheduled withdrawals from reserves. This wasn't a situation where you had department directors overspending and not paying attention. That's not what this was all about. To the mayor's point about capital, in the budget at the beginning of the year, there was an allocation to withdraw from reserves. So I don't want to leave it out there. The impression you're giving people is that the department directors have been spending willy-nilly, and that's what's contributed to the problem. And my point is, no, that's not the case. The town was very thoughtful in its allocation of reserves for specific capital purchases.
Well, I know is you're trying to catch up on stuff that should have been taken care of in past years. That's all I know.
Taxes that should have been raised.
Huh?
Taxes that should have been raised way.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's the only thing I want to say about that. And the other thing I want to say is you have to consider now, even though your tax rates are increasing, property tax rates are increasing, you have to take into consideration, I get assessments from the county, and this year I got an assessment from the county. My property tax value is going to go up $85,000. Okay? So other people probably have gotten hit with a three-year assessment, proposed assessment. So you got to take that into consideration as well when you're thinking of these things. And that's my only other point. I think you all done a wonderful job, but just take into consideration.
And I agree about the property assessments. It's interesting. And again, it's, you know, it's nobody's job to, in the public, to worry about. But our property assessments are finally coming back up to what they were 10 years ago. So that's part of the reason we had to make a decision. Do we go into, you know, do we just clamp down and not do any of the improvements you've seen for a decade? Or do we use the reserves that were there? And what happened is we got an additional unexpected surprise when the sewer fund ended up costing a lot more because of the wastewater treatment plant upgrade and spray irrigation. And we're talking millions of dollars, so that's why it affects. But at the same time, I agree. If the property assessments,
it would have been, if they had never gone down, we wouldn't have had to do that. But they did, and they're finally back to where they were. So hopefully now, I mean, everybody has a crystal ball, but hopefully now adjustments can be made, and I would hope every, you know, let's say 2 to 3 years to take a look at it, and then make minor adjustments as we go, assuming we don't have these, you know, tsunamis of increases and then decreases in our property assessment, and that's something we had no control over. But I just want to give you some perspective there, is that, you know, we could have just hunkered down for the last 10 years, and this would be a much different town than it was. So, you know, it hit us harder than we wanted. If that hadn't happened, we'd be raising taxes some and sewer some, you know, the sewer rates, but not to the extent that we've had to.
Okay, so my point is, we got hit with a higher increase in tax rates, which we needed, but we also are getting hit with the higher assessments. Okay, so we're getting double whammy. Taxpayers getting double whammy in a sense. That's all I'm
trying
to make a point. Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
How you doing?
Good, how are you? Marie used the word disingenuous, and I want to bring one thing up that I still think is disingenuous, and that's the tax graph that you used at the listening session when you tried to tell, I don't remember if it was a gentleman or a woman that lived in town, that it would be more expensive someplace else, and that was false then, it's false now, but this is still on our website, right?
It's still there.
It's still there. It's a lie. If you're going to put these things on our website for people to see and expect us to believe it, when I know it's not true, I don't believe anything else that you show us. I think it's all disingenuous.
I don't even know what you're showing.
It's a tax graph that has a bar across it that makes it look like the Berlin rate at 80 cents or 68 cents is less than Princess Anne at, you have $1.02, but SDAT listed at 99.998. Salisbury, Pocomoke, Snow Hill, the other towns, when in fact, when you apply the assessed value of our property, we pay more, and this makes it look like it's less. G actually said that in the listing session. You weren't there, but he told one of the residents that if you moved someplace else, Snow Hill or Pocomoke, it would cost you more. And that's just, it's not true. Not true at all. So this shouldn't be on display. And you're trying to justify a rate. I want to point a small fact out to you, that of the 157 municipalities in the state of Maryland, only 16, including Berlin, have a tax rate at 80 cents or higher. Three are inside the Capitol Beltway in Washington, D.C., so I don't know that they really compare to us. The majority are on the Eastern Shore, but of all those on the Eastern Shore, the home value, the assessed values, are about half or less than Berlin. So I want to stress again that we spend too much money. A right-sized budget for a municipality of this size, from what I've gathered looking at other budgets, we still need to chop about $2 or $2.5 million out of what we're spending to right-size it. I want to thank Zach for reaching out and going over some of the other budgets that I brought up at the listening session. I think that was wonderful. I think he did what he was supposed to do. He listened. And I want to say that the rest of you should have, and you didn't.
Reach out?
We talked.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, you're right. We talked. I don't know. You listened a whole lot, but we did talk, Troy. We talked a lot. So you get a lot of credit there.
Okay. So I did reach out.
You did, yes.
Okay.
Correct. You didn't want to hear about the other budgets, but we did talk about a lot of stuff.
No, I don't care about Berlin's budget the most, but that's okay. I just didn't want
benchmarking's
to
important. It works in business. It works in you know, governance and business. It's very important.
Okay.
That's all I had
that
night.
Thank you, Jason.
My name is Bootsy Fletcher, 257 Powell Circle, and I want to thank Councilman Tindall because I read in the paper of our annexation of the 6 acres and the 7-Eleven and this and that, and my concern is just creating more debt. You know, the Falls Park property. That's $2.5 million. And I imagine we borrowed that. It didn't cover the general fund to buy it, I don't think. And then this new annexation is, I don't know how much that is, but we're creating debt. I didn't see any graphs about the debt ratio of, and that has got to affect the bottom line, monthly payments for loans and debt, and every household, it certainly affects the bottom line, your mortgage payments, etc. And so, it, you know, like the gentleman that so beautifully had his 5 points and diplomatically stated his feelings, which I agree with every one of them, you know, I'm not going anywhere, but this whole kind of, and we are to blame, which was mentioned in the beginning of our participation, that we weren't participating. So now we're here and we're participating, and I'm concerned about creating more debt of things that aren't essential. Because we talked about climate change and, you know, some unforeseen tornado that could flatten the town. I doubt it. I'm just being overdramatic. But I don't think having 6 acres here and however many for the Falls Park that's, in my opinion, a white elephant with no real purpose except for to fulfill perhaps a vision of a green zone, which, you know, is not essential. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address the mayor and council in the public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. And again, thank you all very much for your very thoughtful comments. One thing I think has been very beneficial through this whole 16 weeks is that considering where we started, we're getting a lot more what I'll call very thoughtful and considered recommendations for spending and future budgeting. So we thank you. Next is the actual consideration by the council on the proposed 2020 fiscal year budget, which is Ordinance 2019-02. At this point, what is the procedure when we've got all those pages? And
have any discussion that you want? Yeah.
Does anyone wish to make additional comments, suggestions, criticisms related to the budget and made by statements just before the opening of the hearing? So certainly welcome to anything.
Hey, no comment. I'm moved to approve.
I thought we were starting at the other end. Sorry. I just got to take a couple issues, a couple things to get in. Words like disingenuous, incompetent, and things like that have been used throughout this time. Bottom line is these assessments that happened in 2008, 2009, what you paid, the majority of everybody I've seen across the board, including myself, in taxes, is going to be higher than what's even being proposed right now. Your assessment did go down. In a lot of cases, almost 35 and 40% is what the tax dollar you paid to the town of Berlin went down from 2008 or 9 to today. It is going back up now. It just all got reassessed. But in reality, I mean, I'm looking at one just willy-nilly one right here. In 2009, $3,791 what was paid on this residence. With the increase right now, $2,006.06 is what's being paid. That is a huge difference. It's almost $900, and that will go up about $400. It will not even reach what it was back in 2009. This means a drastic decrease of the revenues the town's got. And I just got to say, spending is not the issue because we're really frugal. We don't spend more money than we need to, but right now we have taken a long time based on reduction in taxes in 2012 and the assessments going down dramatically. It took a big toll on the revenues the town got. We worked really hard doing this. I've been reaching out, and the misinformation has just abounded. And I have, when I see it, I've called my friends that have said it, and most of the time we've had really productive discussions. Jason and I have had great discussions regarding this. We're paying less now than we did back then because the assessments were so high. Now they've gone down, they're trying to react themselves, and we're trying to play catch-up, just like everybody's saying. But it's that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to make any comments? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Troy, just like I said when you emailed that to me, you're right. But that's not unique to Berlin. The county, the state, much of the country saw assessed values fall.
And the county adjusted their rates accordingly with a steady graph going up the whole time, mm-hmm. and we did not.
Not a lot.
You take a look at it, there's been almost a 28% increase in the same time period. Ours went down 34 and has been creeping back up to about 20 now.
Yeah,
that's different.
The 27, 28% is an accurate figure, I swear.
Other municipalities did not.
I can only, and we've had this discussion, I only worry about Berlin right now because that's the only thing I've got to worry about is because that's all we're up here to take care of.
And
let me finish. We're trying to take care of Berlin. Berlin is unique to any other municipality in the state or the world. We've got a brand new wastewater plant, state of the art, and all these things factor into this budget, which is why I put my focus on that. Spending, it is what it is. We can't get away for less unless we cut services, cut positions, cut something. And I don't think, from the majority of people I talk to, they want anything reduced. If anything, like Ms. Belong just said, she'd like to see a few more things get fixed. It takes money. And that's what we're trying to figure out is the balance right here.
I agree with Jason and disagree with the value of comparative studies. I worked in critical care hospitals for 44 years, and we did comparative studies with salaries, with what's the best way to do something, how do they do it there, what are we doing here. If you can't take a critical look at how you're doing what you're doing, then you're in a bubble.
I'm not saying we don't take a critical look. I'm just saying I take a critical look at our specific situation.
If you keep saying, only Berlin's in my head, well, you need to, think outside the box.
We do. Every day, I can tell you. And this budget process, we have tried to think outside the box the whole way through it.
Troy, this goes back to my original statement. The only thing I was trying to say is, going forward, if you look back in retrospect, if the property values were going down, and all due respect to you, I appreciate what you're saying, property values were going down in those years, we should have watched our lines a lot better when those property tax, and when we budgeted, we should have accounted for some of those.
We should have raised the taxes to make us bring in the same amount of money we did the year before.
Exactly.
We did not.
Just very briefly, what I want to say, I don't doubt. I know you've done your homework, and I know you speak what you feel and what is the truth. However, if I'm going to be a new buyer in town, and I'm looking at this town, I'm not going to look at what my property was worth in 2009. I'm going to look at what my property is going to be worth in 2020 or 2020. Okay, and you say now we're coming back up. I don't think the taxes help that.
The taxes are going to be what they are. And when you sign a contract tomorrow to buy your new house, you will know exactly what your taxes are going to be. If you choose to do that, you will pay those taxes.
This year.
This year.
But if you're raising taxes, okay?
You've got an 18% increase coming next year based on this right now. If you're still willing to do that, it's your decision. And a lot of people think it's a good one. a lot of the new buyers, because by the way, there's a lot of them, and they're coming, and they know, and they read headlines, and they're still coming, because they like Berlin, they want to be here. And I can tell you right now, it's more than it has been in the last 5 or 6 years.
So what you're saying is we can look forward to another tax increase?
No, I didn't say that at all, because I can't foresee the future. What I'm saying is, right now, whoever bought a house yesterday has read the headlines and knows their taxes are going to go up. They know what they paid for their house, and that's what your assessment's going to be based on, nothing else, what you paid today. If you thought that value was there, you're going to be paying 80 cents per hundred, and you know it, and if you agree to it, you're okay with it, I would assume.
So are you going to lower it back down as revenues?
I can't tell you what's going to happen next year until we get to the end of next year, and then we'll start the process all over again. Yeah, 6 months.
I just want to clarify what Corey just said as far as what I said. I didn't say I wanted more. I said I wanted less of some things and more just focused on practical things, such okay. as roads, et cetera.
Thank you.
I'm going to say your honor, but again, I like to move to approve Ordinance 2019-02.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the proposed 2020 fiscal year budget. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Let the record show that the vote is 4-1. All right, thank you very much. And next, we're now to item 4 on the agenda. Motion 2019-17, a motion authorizing certain contracts for the new fiscal year.
Mayor and Council, this is a standard practice the town has followed for the past several years where following shortly after budget adoption, staff asks you to authorize contracts for ongoing services with several contractors. Specifically, we have Angel's Touch Cleaning Services for $54,000. Booth and Associates, which is our electric utility experts that we work with, their contract's not to exceed $100,000. Cards Technology, $38,400. That's the annual service agreement and their continuity agreement. Davis Bowen and Friedel Incorporated, that's our civil engineering firm that we work with, not to exceed $100,000. EA Engineering Science and Technology, these are our stormwater engineers, not to exceed $100,000. And Worcester Youth and Family, we contract and provide funding to their youth services program, and that amount is $40,000. So, again, this is a standard practice the town's followed for the last several years. We're requesting that you authorize those contracts for those amounts for fiscal 2020.
I have a question, if you don't
mind.
Sure.
How often do these contracts go to bid?
It varies. The Angel's Touch Cleaning Services, I think, was several years ago. Can you remember,
Jeff?
3 years ago. Booth and Associates, I don't think it's been out to bid for quite a while. Davis Bowen and Friedel, recently, I'd say within the last year, we took those services out to bid. EA, I don't think we've done that in a while. Worcester Youth and Family.
Right. They're unique.
Yeah, unique. And then Cards. Now, the interesting thing with Cards is we have some technical challenges when it comes to writing a request for proposal to put those types of services out to bid. We've been looking for somebody to assist us with that. But usually those firms are interested in bidding on the services as well, which they can't really do if they write the proposal. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 that we're finding with Cards.
Is there a way that we could... if the contracts, well, actually, I'll make a motion that we approve them as a lot. Is that how we're approving them?
That's generally how we do it, yeah.
So I make a motion to approve 2019-16 as recommended by staff with the caveat that if the given contract has not gone to bid within the past fiscal year, that we go to bid before next fiscal year. So that before FY21, that those contracts would hit an RFP so that we can make sure that everything's competitive.
Any discussion?
Right. So just one thing I like to add, even with what Zach said, I think there should be some type
of evaluation or performance evaluation associated with these contracts. Even if it's just staff opinion as to how the contracts have worked, how the individuals have performed, I would like to see that accompany these proposals, especially for those multi-year renewals, let's say.
I think that's a great addition to the motion.
So if I understand you correctly, you'd like us to bid all of the contracts out on this list that have not bid out within the last year, with the exception of, I guess, Worcester Youth and Family.
They're kind of unique in the circumstances.
I would argue we're going to have trouble with cards as well for the same. We've been looking for somebody off and on for like the last couple, 3 years. And so unless somebody's got a particular person in mind, we're going to have the same kind of challenge with that particular one. And again, Davis, Bone, and Fidel, we bid out recently. So we're really just talking about EA and Booth and Associates.
And I would like to see a good foot forward with cards if we can find somebody that can help us with an RFP.
Sure.
I would like to see that go to bid.
Yep, I would too. But we've not been able to find anybody who's
willing to do that. Even if we have to look a little outside of the area of somewhere of our geographic boundary to help come along with the RFP that can be presented so that local companies can bid.
Maybe Worcester County would be willing to help us with that. They have an IT department.
Okay. That'd be great.
Okay.
So along with the bidding out, it sounds like Dean would like us to do some kind of a performance evaluation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
How far in advance do you advertise these RFPs?
Well, generally we put the RFPs out for several months, 6 weeks, 2 months, something like that. Typically, they're advertised in the paper, posted on the website, and then we subscribe to a firm website posting location called Demandstar, which is a nationwide clearinghouse for things like this. So sometimes we issue requests for proposal. Those are more firm and more price-driven, and sometimes we're able to issue requests for qualifications if we're looking for a professional services firm to do a variety of things. Really what we're looking for there is the qualifications of the firm to do the work, because we might have a variety of projects, nothing specific.
You were talking about cards. Why can't we check with other towns to find out they might be using?
We have been. The question is, or the challenge is finding somebody who can write a request for proposal at a level of technical detail that we could use to take the services out to bid. That the town doesn't have anybody in-house who can write that proposal. You could ask cards to do it, but I don't think that makes a lot of sense since cards would be bidding on it, right? So it's sort of a chicken and an egg issue. And I don't know. Mary, have you talked to the – I don't know if you've explored this with the county IT people. So I had a similar situation when I was working in California in a similar arrangement where we had contract IT people – and we reached out to an adjacent community, much bigger, had a much more sophisticated IT department, and they were able to come in and do sort of like, I was looking at in-house audit kind of a thing. I really think that's, in terms of IT services, the best way to go, get a third party in here to take a look at what we're getting to make sure we're getting a good deal. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into putting this request for proposal together. I think there needs to be a business purpose behind it as opposed to, you know, with all due respect, as opposed to routine, there needs to be a business purpose, either a service issue or cost issue some relationship issue that I think really should drive it. That's one of the reasons why we do it sporadically. It kind of depends on what's going on. So my approach with the cards contract would be more to get somebody in to do an audit of their services as opposed to a request for proposal, which can get to be expensive and could potentially be disruptive. So
I think that having an RFP or an RFQ done on things that have not been done in the near term, I'd say one fiscal year would be wise moving forward. Not every year, but
right.
Some of these contracts have been in existence for multi.
So I'd ask the council to give me the opportunity to put together the costs and the time associated with doing it, because I would argue every 5 years would probably be reasonable as opposed to every year. or every other year. It's a lot of time and energy going into going out to the market, reviewing the proposals, and again, if there's a cost or relationship or performance issue, then we don't hesitate to move if we feel like we need to. But I would be hesitant to agree to an annual bidding out or every other year bidding out of all of our services. I think you'd see us spending all of our time with administrative stuff and not being able to get anything that you would like us to get done.
I understand.
Okay. So, I think you have a motion.
I do. Let's see if I can summarize that motion. Correct me if I'm wrong here. We have a motion by Council Member Tindall to buy during the budget year FY21 to put out to bid any contracts for service that the town has that were not put out to bid during this new calendar year, fiscal year 2020. Is that
correct?
Go ahead.
I believe Laura's suggesting that she's going to gather those costs that they may be substantial. So,
yeah.
In the event that they, what time frame do you think that would take for you to gather that information?
Do you think you'd give me 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm just saying that we have enough time before FY21 approaches that we can evaluate whether we want to move forward with it. Okay. But if it's going to be cost prohibitive, I'll change my motion to just approve these with the caveat of Dean's recommendation to include a review of how well the vendors have done in the past fiscal year, and then we'll explore the costs of going forward with an RFP or an RFQ. I think that makes the most sense.
I would like for my motion to stand alone.
Okay, well then I apologize.
You said two things. Yeah. You said you would move to approve this list.
Correct.
With the understanding that after Laura gets these prices, or you would be willing to come back and make your other motion?
No. We'll evaluate that at a separate time. I think that's the best recommendation.
Okay, so I think where we are now is there's a motion to approve the list of contracts as awarded, with the addition request of a written evaluation from staff with regard to the performance of the people that are listed on this contract list. Is that correct?
Yeah, is that an accurate?
I don't know. I think it's on.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's a sort of a follow-up. I'll get some information together with regard to the bidding process for these contracts, and then we can have a discussion separately about time and expense and going to bid. Okay, great.
I think that's the best.
And that'll all be reflected in minutes so well.
Yes. we talk about this stuff the next day, don't
next
worry.
Day. Okay. All right, we have this that motion, but it's more very thoughtful refinements and conditions. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Let's see. Now we'll have our departmental reports.
Good evening. I think I'll go first. So the process right now, after the budget gone to approval, we will be installing the budget in the Tyler software, and basically July 1st, all the department heads will be utilizing new budgeted amounts. We're also going into the audit process. We will be preparing all the information for fiscal 19 to be audited by the PKS and company. That's probably going to be September, mid of September, end of September. I don't have firm dates. That's pretty much all I have on my agenda. I do have a comment. It's been a very specific and very interesting process for this particular budget year. And I do appreciate everybody's input and help and support. I do, however, ask specifically of Council Tindall to have a better communication tool in place. I do hear a lot of comments from the public that been back and forth exchanged. I have not received information from Council Tyndall in detail, so the requested comment from public or some sort of specific information comes to the meeting at the last moment. So going forward, I would like better input.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, does anyone have any questions for Natalie? Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
I don't have anything this evening.
Okay. Jamie Latchin, our Water Resources Director.
Good evening, Council. The last couple of weeks we've had quite a few lift stations going down. We've pulled probably over half the pumps in town just due to ragging and, you know, not really much maintenance, but they're plugged up so they won't pump. So we've done that, and we've had a couple sewer blockages, and we've put in clean outs to a couple places and got a couple sewers to abandon, waters for houses being done demolitioned. That's all I have.
And, again, I know we had a meeting with State Highway. Is that something you'll be reporting about just to bring everybody up to date? Because the whole council...
I can. Did you want me to do that now?
Well, yeah, I guess this is as good a time as any. I mean, I just don't want to forget because, you know,
okay,
they kept moving the date.
Okay. Yes. So we did have a meeting with State Highway regarding the widening of 376. We have reached, I would say, a tentative understanding with them with regard to who's going to be paying for what. It's pretty critical because the town's main sewer line runs under the road. Initially, the state's position was that we were responsible for moving the utilities. This is prohibitively expensive, not to mention probably impossible because it's essentially a clay pipe.
And just so everyone, Maryland 376 is Bay Street Extended, which then becomes Assateague Road.
Okay.
Not everybody knows the route.
Yeah.
Okay.
The state needs some of the town's property in order to address its stormwater obligations with regard to the project. So as I mentioned, we've tentatively reached an understanding that the town will provide some property to the state in exchange for them taking care of the utility issue, which is not to move the sewer line, but to do, in a nutshell, to work around the sewer challenges in a way so we'll get some new pipe, some new manholes, but they're not going to touch the older infrastructure because they're concerned about what might happen if they do. Is that in a nutshell, Jamie? Without getting too technical about doghouse, manhole covers, and things like that. So the state's working on a memorandum of understanding, which will basically document the contribution from the town standpoint of the land and what the state's going to be doing in exchange.
I thought it was a very productive meeting. Very, very productive.
Thanks,
Jim. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm going to keep mine short tonight. On Sunday, which was June 2nd, we had a lightning storm that came through town. I'm sure most of you were aware. Circuit 210 actually operated three times and opened, and circuits 220 and 230 operated once. The main thing that caused the issue on 210 was a lightning strike on Flower Street right below Henry Park. It hit the top of the pole, and it blew apart the top of the pole for about 3 foot down. Then it traveled down the primary line, and it took out two transformers, which we had to replace them, and some cutouts and lightning arresters, that type of thing. There was some damage that occurred next door to planning and zoning with the communication modems with Comcast due to lightning. Lightning normally runs in on communication versus electric when it goes inside a building. Okay. And then also...
Tim?
Yes?
I didn't understand what you just said.
Okay.
when it usually goes in on communication?
That's correct. When lightning travels inside a building, it normally goes in through the communication lines versus the electric lines.
I did not know that.
Yes, that's correct. When you see damage from, like, modems and things like that internally, that's normally coming in on the communication lines. Okay. And then also... we are ready for peak shaving at the power plant. All the engines have been tested and ran, and The fuel was ready and that type thing. So whenever it warms up, we're ready for peak shaving. One thing I wanted to talk about is this coming on the 19th of June, which is Wednesday, and this actually went out on the town's website and was announced. There's going to be two outages that are going to occur in the entire town on the electric grid. And the reason why is we have a device inside the substation. It's called a CCVT. It's a device that's in the beginning of the substation, in the very beginning where the high-voltage transmission line that serves our substation. That device is starting to fail. The substation was built in 1986. That's how long it's been operating. And it's a device that's used for protective relaying for the substation. So it's got to the point now we have to replace it, and to do that we have to take down the power to the entire substation, which in turn is the entire town. We have to, we're going to take it out on Wednesday, June 19th at 12:30 in the morning, and it'll last to about 2:30 in the morning, about 2 hours. And then that's to disconnect everything from the main transmission line, and then we're going to bypass that device and feed the substation and re-energize it. Then on Wednesday, during the daytime, we're going to do all the work, going to take about 8 or 10 hours, and then we're going to come back in Thursday morning, the next morning, at 12:30 in the morning, take another outage to reconnect all the new equipment, and then at that point, we'll turn it back on around 2:30.
Okay. And a press release went out, and it's also on our website.
Yes,
it's also on the public access, and Facebook and Current will go out Monday.
Thank you.
Just to let you know, also, I've notified the Berlin Police Department, the Fire Department. I've spoke to the maintenance people at AGH Hospital, which it will not affect the hospital that is served by Delmarva Power, but it will affect the Cancer Center, the Barrett Building, that type of thing. So they're well aware of the outage, and they're going to be prepared for it. I've been in contact with the State Highway Administration. I've spoke to them, and I spoke to Comcast and Verizon both about making sure that the communication lines stay up for emergency services with Berlin Police Department and also the Fire Department. So I think we're all on the same page.
And if the electric's out, then we won't have it with the modems.
Well, they may be able to put generators on it, you know, somehow. They're prepared for it, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Perfect transition over to Chief Downing.
Last days of school, we're actually having award ceremonies, graduations. So we definitely know that a lot of the schools, especially with the half a days, will actually have a large attendance from parents and other family members. Just be aware of that at the different schools. I think you had a little influx today. But that's what we're preparing for. And then the next phase, we're preparing to do some events and different things with Worcester Youth for the kids during the summer. That's my report.
Thank you. Any questions for the chief? Next is Economic and Community Development Director, Audrey Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to say thank you for adding the midnight New Year's Eve celebration and ball drop back into the budget. I know that the merchants and most of the residents and everyone else appreciate that very much, so thank you. Busy weekend, this coming weekend, Friday night, is the 30th annual bathtub races. Starts at 6 p.m. with the parade of the robed gentlemen and bagpipes, starting at around 5:30, I believe. And then that is also second Friday, art stroll night, and Maker's Market will take place on Jefferson Street. And then Saturday night, the Berlin Arts Entertainment Committee is putting on a free outdoor movie on Artisan Screen, and they are featuring Yellow Submarine. At first, it was Tuck Everlasting, but they just recently changed it to Yellow Submarine and moved it from Jefferson over to Artisan Screen, so we wouldn't have to close a road for that. And then Sunday, as you can see, the farmers market has been wildly popular every Sunday, even though it rains. A lot of the farmers still sell out, so I encourage you to come and support the local farmers. I know that the residents really love having the farmers market in downtown on Sunday mornings. And then also, if you haven't noticed, the building across the street, Mr. Burbage's building, is now finally being repaired after many years of attempting and trying to get that building to be repaired. It is now actually happening, so I am very happy about that. That's all I have tonight.
Anybody have any questions for Ozzy?
Is the building being repaired or just the office?
As far as I know, it's the entire, it's that, the building, that that the building office. That's cordoned off.
Office complex.
Mm-hmm. Already?
I didn't think the building, I didn't think the building was going to be repaired. No.
Next is Managing Director and Public Works Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. One quick thing to piggyback on what Jim shared. The Henry Park restroom, as well as a number of electronic control mechanisms in there, we did take a hit on that as well, so we're working with the manufacturer and with a local vendor to hear what we need to repair that. But it is functional, the restroom as a whole. And then the other thing that Tim and I discussed, hopefully the weather cooperates at some point this week. Folks will be out and spraying the curbs and the roadway for growth. Let's hope that takes place this week.
Anyone have any questions for Jeff? Ready? Thank you. Next is our, do you have anything for the town administrator?
I have nothing else.
Okay.
Nothing in addition.
Right. Nor do I. Any comments from the council?
Just one quick thing. If we could get Kelsey some bigger envelopes, that would be helpful.
Sorry,
that's
not in the budget.
Yes. Thanks, Natalie. I'll donate them then.
I just have a comment. During this budget process, we have had more participation at our meetings than any time in history since I've been on the council. And I do believe that is a good thing. Regardless of what motivates you to come, I'm glad to see you here. And if you come back enough, you will understand and come to realize how much time and effort we put into managing this town. All of our decisions might not be what you think, but as a council, it is what, and I know it is what each of us believe is in the best interest of this town that we all love. So I implore you to keep coming back. One more thing I have. Jeff's title's changed.
He's managing director. It's been that way for...
And public works. That just for the report or...
No. Recently, I asked Jeff to take on responsibility of the public works department. And he generously agreed to do so. So public works is transferred under Jeff.
Is that something that we should approve?
He basically is taking over the administrative functions. So Jamie is overseeing all of the water resources departments, and there is no Jane retired.
Yeah.
So the administrative functions he was doing now become part of Jeff's duties. Because, really it just means...
But that represents a change in the operation of the town of Berlin, and I think that should have been brought here for discussion and approved.
Well, an interesting thing there, I don't know, is that since it's a personnel issue, should we do it?
It would be addressed in a closed session because it's a personnel issue.
Okay. Right.
Well, I do think it needs to be discussed. And that's all I had. Again, it's no reflection on Jeff. I just want everybody to know that.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Association of Realtors earlier. You want to brought that up? I had had extensive discussions with them. The information they offered was not correct. They used the zip code 21811, not just Berlin proper. So they're in the middle of redoing that.
But it's still a point.
Oh, no doubt. I think it's a drastic difference, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just from my research. Hopefully they'll be forthcoming with that information in the next week.
Okay. Do we have any other anyone else who wishes to address the council on any issue?
I didn't get specific dates. The electricity won't be out.
It's going to be on Wednesday, June 19th, from 12:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the morning, and also on Thursday, June 20th, same time, 12:30 a.m.
So we're basically, yes, very good. And we're allowing a 2 to 3 hour window. So I know Tim's very precise, but we're going to be giving ourselves a little bit of a flexibility there. And then to Mary's point, she's right. If the weather's bad, then we will reschedule because we can't do the work we need to in wet weather.
Okay. And any other questions or comments? Any comments or questions from the press?
Oh, move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Troy's close.